Now, all these themes suggest all sorts of complex patterns, similar to what one can see in art and in the music of the bards. But certain things stand out, I think, very clearly. One is a desire to escape from ever-present official ideology, from its falseness, from its pervasive public gloss over reality, from the sort of grandiose and rather desiccated public oratory one heard from one's leaders, from the simple pomposity of power, the sheer monotony of official Soviet life. This literature and art and songs were an escape. No less important, one sees a sort of spiritual, existential, one might say, searching for the real meaning of life, a clear desire to focus on really what is most fundamental, what's human, about personal desires, to consider crises and what it tells you about a human being, people's accomplishments, again, to focus on the individual personality, what makes people human, or to use a word that was used then, as it was used so many times before in Russian history, on Lichnost, on the individual and what makes them human. It involved a search for morals, for a moral code that had nothing to do with classes or the interests of building socialism, but was rooted in human nature and what was universal and human. And of course, a concern not with building the future, but with how to live for today. Finally, we come to the face of Soviet alienation, of dissidents, that was really best known, the underground illegal dissident movement. Much of it started informally in these private spaces, became targeted, though, because of its increasing publicness as illegal, and hence became fully a dissident movement from the late 60s to the early 1980s. This is a very diverse movement. It's diverse in tactics. It included publishing forbidden books in what was called samizdat, self-publishing, or even what was called tamizdat, from the Russian word tam, over there. In other words, publishing it in Western Europe or America and smuggling it back in. It included circulating petitions against repressive acts of the state, such as the arrest of writers or artists. It included participating in various public demonstrations even, often at the foot of some major statue such as Pushkin or Mayakovsky, with certain expectation of arrest. This movement was also diverse in its ideas and values. Lots of different groups were formed in these years, most of them focusing on what might be described as particular types of denied rights, denied group rights. Feminist groups, for example, formed to fight for real women's rights in the Soviet Union. Groups of Christian religious believers, especially Protestants, formed to gain more rights for themselves. Jewish groups formed. National minorities organized various groups. Workers even united to form to fight for free trade unions. But if we go beyond these specific issues, beyond specific denied rights, one sees certain ideas, certain ideological tendencies that unite as well as divide groups. And we see three in particular. The first were people who might be called and sometimes call themselves true Leninists. In other words, Marxist dissidents. This was the smallest tendency within this movement. They argued that real Leninism guarantees liberty, guarantees real democracy, guarantees true freedom, and that this democratic socialist spirit, existing only at the beginning, had been crushed by Stalin. For many of them, they looked at the 1920s, the period of NEP, as an ideal time to be returned to. One of the leading activists in this small movement was a historian named Roy Medvedev. Another group, what some have called neo-Slavophiles, also small but growing, aimed to return Russia to its lost national culture, to rid Russia of this alien imposition, Western imposition, of Marxist communism, to return to the natural moral values of old Russia. They had dreamed, in fact, of creating an essentially rural Russia again, an Orthodox Christian Russia, rooted in fundamental values that were part of Russia's past. And the principal voice for this point of view was the famous writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn.